This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. Speaking of fantastic, I have some deportation numbers I'll play for you here in just a moment. Then we're going to talk about conquering the Western Hemisphere. We'll do some emails, all that and so much more. And Tiana Lowe Descher is coming up a half hour from now. Have you been confused about the tariffs? I'm going to lay it out for you. I try, because I want to do a show that makes your day better. I try to have a decent understanding of the news and what's going on. I am so confused with what tariffs, what do we have? What don't we have? What is coming? What is not coming? And part of the confusion is here's how it works. Donald Trump uses the threat of tariffs as a negotiating tactic, and it's worked very well. I'm not insulting at all. I'm actually complimenting him. It works very well. But Donald Trump, he'll put something on social media of, those dirty Canadians are about to get a 200% tariff. And the headlines then run rampant of 200% tariff on Canadians. And then the next day you found out, we just struck a deal, so there's no tariffs on Canadians. And you're like, do we have a tariff? Anyway. Tiana Lowe, I'm going to ask her about that a half hour from now. What do we have? What is coming? How is it working? And she's fairly down the line. She's fairly by the book. She's not one of these annoying anti-Trumpers. She's not one of these annoying Trump worshipers. She's just going to give it to us between the eyes, just like Will Chamberlain just did a little bit ago. And we should enjoy that. Now, I want to talk about something really good, but bad and good. The bad is that Democrats are now completely demonic and evil, and they bring in as many dirty foreigners into this country, criminals, as possible, so they can win elections. And they don't care how many times they rape or murder people. Democrats do this stuff on purpose.
We're learning two men here illegally face human trafficking charges in Fort Valley. Virgilio Vasquez and Napoleon Gomez, age 38, from Guatemala, are in jail tonight. They're charged with human trafficking, rape, and child molestation.
Yeah, Democrats bring those people into your country on purpose. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. We are not only deporting people, the pace of deportation will and should increase from here. As you just heard Will talk about this a half hour ago. We have to first build the deportation machine that is still being built. But these numbers are good.
Deportation numbers hitting record highs since President Trump's return to office. His administration booting more than 515,000 illegal migrants so far. 1.6 million illegals have left the country on their own, with immigration agents arresting 485,000. DHS saying that Trump is set to shatter the U.S. deportation record by the end of 2025.
That's good. I know you want more. I want more. We've got about 40 million to go, at least. I got that. But shattering a record, it's hard to ask for more than that when it comes to deportations. It's hard to ask for more than that. I know what Democrats did. You know why they did it. I know why they did it. This is the same reason all the globalist communists are doing this to their countries. Ireland, England, Germany, France, Greece, it's a country after country after country in the West falling because globalist communist leaders have chosen to import barbarians who will vote for them without end. Our Democrats are these exact same savages, and they did the same thing. You know why they did it. I know why they did it. We've talked about it many times before. Let's assume that we have 4 years to get them all out. That's not possible, but as many as you can. And we're doing something. We're doing something. Jesse, he says, dear Brokeback Mountain Bronco or Leathers or whatever you go by, Bronco's fine, or Oracle, or Sombrero Jesse, whatever's fine. The Shadow, Chris, I don't like to be referred to as the Shadow. That's my covert name, so please don't refer to me. The media is ignoring the fact of how many Americans are pro-ICE. I attended a Department of Homeland job fair last month. They had all the departments there, but which one had a line of patriots of all ages and skin colors applying for it? ICE. Fortunately, I was one as well. Good for you, brother. ICE had an article out there saying around 175,000 Americans applied. The media doesn't want to admit it. Well, the media sees itself, as we've discussed. Whatever role, whatever power the communist has, he will use it for the revolution. The media is insanely powerful, and that they see themselves as the sword and shield of the revolution. They are not biased. They're not hypocritical. They are your mortal enemy. They hate you. They hate your country. They hate everything that is good and right, and they love everything that is evil and wrong. You have to understand this about them. If you think they're biased, the liberal media. If you think in those terms, you will always find yourself shocked from time to time. I can't believe they would fill in the blank. You know how many times I see a media headline or a media story and I say to myself, man, I can't believe it. None. It never happens. Because I understand they're demonic communist savages who are trying to burn my country to the ground. And every time they put together a show, every time they put together a newspaper, whatever it is, they are doing so with the worst intentions for you and your country. And so they will cover wall to wall the No Kings protests. They'll talk about how wonderful it was when they know that's not true. How organic it was when they know that's not true. They'll bring in token Republicans and Democrats to talk about how inspiring and wonderful it was. You know what they'll ignore? The violent crime running rampant through America's cities. In fact, we've talked about this before. America's cities being murder, rape, robbery capitals in the United States of America should be a nightly news story. In fact, Democrats who run these cities should be routinely shamed and chased out of public settings because the public is so aware and angry about the crime they encourage in America's cities. Instead, the media never talks about it. And God forbid, it's a black person committing the crime, you know they'll never talk about it. Or they'll do the age-old thing the media loves to do, they'll refer to the perpetrator as a teen. It's always a teen. Whenever you see teens in the headlines, it's a black person or a Muslim. Guaranteed, 100% of the time. If it's a white dude, they'll slap his picture on there. They'll call him a Caucasian. They'll call him everything in the world. But if it's a Muslim or a black dude, it's going to be teen. Why? Well, again, they view themselves as the sword and shield of the revolution. And the American people are waking up to it. Ratings are down, and it's freaking wonderful. Jesse, since it's October, can you please tell us some history around Vlad the Impaler? Chris, we did Vlad the Impaler history before. All right, so I've done this before. I've done Vlad the Impaler. I'll just do this briefly. I'm going to take 2 minutes into this. Vlad the Impaler, he was essentially a hostage, kind of the Ottoman Empire when he was a child. I say a hostage because he was treated well, he was fed well, and they even taught him how to torture people. But it was one of those things where if the kingdom he came from, it was known as Wallachia, if the kingdom he came from screwed up, they would cut his head off. So he's there, he's a guest, but you're a guest in serious mortal danger. You got that, I got that. Now, Vlad the Impaler ended up back in Wallachia and came to power, and the Ottoman Empire was much, much bigger and more powerful than his kingdom was. He had no chance of actually stopping the Ottoman Empire, but he tried, and he used all kinds of guerrilla tactics. He spoke their language fluently because he had been raised there, and he would do things like wear their uniforms and go undercover. A really, really fascinating guy, fascinating story. And he used terror tactics. He loved impaling people on stakes, and he essentially created a forest of impaled Ottoman bodies to freak out the Ottomans of, oh my gosh, that's of course how he got the name, Vlad the Impaler. Fascinating dude. If the portrait that's out there is accurate, maybe the ugliest human being to ever walk the face of the planet. I hope that wasn't what he actually looked like, Chris. You never know. Maybe the artist just chose to do him wrong, but Vlad the Impaler. There's your little mini history of Vlad the Impaler. Let's talk about conquering the Western Hemisphere, because apparently Colombia is about to get it. Now, before we do that, I want to talk to you about a wonderful organization that's been caring for widows and orphans for a very, very long time. You know Frank Siller. Frank Siller is the one who runs Tunnel to Towers. Why did he start this organization? Because his brother gave his life as a fireman on 9/11. His brother ran the tunnel to run into the towers on 9/11 and gave his life. And Frank decided from that day on, that first responder families should be cared for, that Gold Star families should be cared for. And Tunnel to Towers has been building them homes, paying off their mortgages. They built them an entire community in Florida where they can live and heal together, and they haven't given up the mission. $11 a month is what they do it with. Your $11 a month. Give it automatically. You never know it's gone. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Trump cuts all U.S. foreign aid to Colombia after President Petro attacks anti-drug strikes. So hear me out. I understand that people think the era of conquest is over. And people want the era of conquest to be over. I don't know that that's doable. Human nature doesn't change, as you know. I think we're probably in a little bit of a pause period on the era of conquest. But hear me out. What if the United States of America, what if we just took all of the central part of the Western Hemisphere? El Salvador can help it. What? Hold on. Listen, Chris. Let me finish. Listen. El Salvador is going to be a valuable staging area. We push down through Mexico. We liberate the... We always... Shut up, Chris. It's not conquest, it's liberation. We liberate the Mexican people from their garbage, corrupt government, from narco terror. We then continue to push south. We don't just kind of half control the Panama Canal as we move our way south. We own the Panama Canal. Think about the position of strength that would give us on the world stage. That's a critical canal, which we built anyway. We then move down. I don't mean all of South America. I don't mean that at all. We move down. We take Venezuela. I have been told by people who have gone there that Colombia is one of the most beautiful countries on the planet. Apparently big green mountains, supposed to be just gorgeous. We take Venezuela. We take Colombia, Brazil. They are in the middle of a huge communist insurgency right now. They're, of course, surprise, surprise, they're arresting the right wingers, throwing them in prison. All the things the communists did. You remember, you lived through 4 years of Joe Biden. We maybe take Brazil. Not saying we have to, but we're in a position to take Brazil after we've taken the rest of it. We don't have to go all the way down to Argentina. Argentina's getting their stuff together. We don't have to take Chile. I'm not saying we take all of it, but the huge middle chunk of the Western Hemisphere. Think about all those resources. Think about the strategic value. The people who suffer under these corrupt Latin governments. What could we do? What, Chris? Chris said, don't forget Canada. No, Chris, here's what you're forgetting. Empires have constantly made this mistake during conquest of trying to take everything instead of leaving a border buffer zone. Leave Canada alone. Leave them alone. They serve as a nice wall. They're a frozen northern wall buffer zone. Then, not only that, think about how good we look to the rest of the world. We could have taken Canada, but we're so nice, we are letting Canada go. And just like Brazil, we send a message to the dirtball Canadian government, because there are so many wonderful Canadians who are suffering under that communist government right now. We send a message that, hey, we didn't take you, but we could. If you don't straighten yourself out, stop oppressing your people, stop confiscating their guns, stop importing foreigners en masse, replacing the Canadian people, if this stuff doesn't stop, maybe we'll come pay you a visit as soon as we're done with Latin America. We get a buffer zone. It exists there to, you know, it's under threat. We'll put it that way. It exists under threat. A nice threat, Chris. A nice threat. A threat of potential military invasion. Where does that put us on the world stage? We already know China. They've been working for years and years and years and years and years at this. China controls, or at least has some control over, large parts of Africa. They've always wanted that because of all the rare earth minerals and things like that in Africa. If China's going to take command of the East, why don't we take command of the West? I want to visit Colombia. I am told that you really can't visit Colombia, or shouldn't, without some sort of security detail because of the drugs and kidnapping is so prevalent. What, Chris? What? You hate how much sense it makes? Did you think I was just some bloodthirsty monster, Chris? I'm not a bloodthirsty monster. That is not true. This is a liberation movement. Liberation Day is coming. And let's remember, we have a now very good friend in El Salvador, which gives us, it's a near perfect staging area to launch our campaign of conquest. And the wonderful people of Latin America, they don't want to live like this. They don't want to live with corrupt government officials, corrupt military, corrupt cops. The legacy of corruption in Latin America is terrible. Why don't we free these people? Think of the food. Think about the amazing food options we would have. Putting it out there, in case anybody in the Trump campaign's listening. Tiana is going to join us next and talk about economics. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Joining me now, my friend Tiana Lodescher. She is a columnist with the DC Examiner. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you've heard her on here before. Tiana, how is the economy doing? On one metric, gas prices are down. On the other, prices are not necessarily down. Where are we with all this?
Hi, Jesse. So we're in a really weird holding pattern because the whole year has just been characterized by the uncertainty around Trump and the tariffs. And on the one hand, Armageddon did not happen, right? I was very fearful that the tariffs would lead not to an inflationary spiral, but inhibit growth. But that's not really the case, right? We had one quarter of over 3% GDP growth. And right now the projection for quarter three is like almost 4% GDP growth. The most remarkable thing that nobody is talking about is that in fiscal year 2025, which ended in September, the deficit actually shrank by 4%. So by, you know me, Jesse, I am a single issue voter, and it's bring down the deficit as close to zero as possible. Mm-hmm. On that front, I couldn't be more thrilled because presidents never start out their terms lowering the deficit. If they ever bring down the deficit, it's after they blow it out in the first year or two of their term. So like I would say there is some success. It really is just a matter of where do the tariffs stick. If they stay at this level, which is like an effective, you know, 10-15%, people are basically fine. Like it's pretty clear that there's a little bit of a pass-through cost to the consumer, but nothing astronomical, right? Inflation is kind of waiting. One of the biggest issues we have is the Schumer shutdown. We don't get a real inflation report. So Republicans have to send in random Labor Department staffers, and they're going to try to put out an inflation report on Friday, but I don't know if anyone's going to believe it. So it's my very protracted, lengthy way of saying it's a mixed bag. It is unambiguously better than at any point under Joe Biden.
Yeah, well, at least we have that. Okay, Tiana, the tariffs themselves, most people, myself included, okay, so I'm not acting like just other people are dumb. Most people are confused with what is actually in place, what is coming, who got tariffed on what, who got no tariffs at all, what is happening with China. Can you maybe parse that out for us a little bit?
Yeah, and everyone is confused about the tariffs.
Okay.
Because various parts of the tariff agenda are struck down. Some of it Trump tweets out, but it never actually goes into effect. In practice, it's something like the average import into the country is tariffed at, I think it's about 12-13% right now, and it varies from country to country. Most imports from Mexico are still tariffed at zero because of USMCA, whereas, you know, most things from China, much higher tariff rate. Things like cars have higher tariffs, whereas bananas have lower tariffs for good reasons. You can make a car in America. You can't make bananas in a lot of America. And the big issue with the tariff success is that if the goal of the tariffs was to bring back American manufacturing, they're another incomplete failure, right? We've lost 40,000 manufacturing jobs since Trump took office. You don't regulate your way to growth. However, if the point of the tariff is to pay down the national debt, that's a different story. There they are kind of successful. And it's why, you know, investors were having heart attacks over these things in April. And now they're like, okay, well, you guys are making more progress on the debt than we have under in terms of changing the trajectory more than any other president in 20 years. So maybe it's not so bad. But again, we're Republicans. We're not supposed to like taxes. At least this is the kind of small one in practice.
Again, we're speaking with Tiana Lowe Descher, columnist with the DC Examiner. Okay, for the elephant in the room here, China. The tariffs are on. The tariffs are off. They're going to do this to us. They're holding back rare earths. We're going to tariff them. I'm uniquely interested in this because they have a uniquely large footprint in our economy. Where is this now and where is it going?
So I think within Trump, there are two spirits, right? There is Trump the deal maker and there is Trump the nationalist. Trump the deal maker is always searching for, you know, she says nice things about me. I can say nice things about she. Maybe we can come to an understanding and get a deal. Trump the nationalist gets that China thinks in centuries, not decades, and that China and the Chinese Communist Party is the closest thing we have to an existential threat to Western liberalism, the American experiment, on the face of the earth right now. So realistically, once Trump the nationalist wins out, which I hope it will sooner rather than later, instead of trying to tariff and punish every other country under the sun, what we do is we ally with them to ice the Chinese out. Here's one very good example of this. Yesterday, Trump had Anthony Albanese, who's the Australian conservative prime minister, at the White House. What did he do with Albanese? He maintained very nice trade talks, right? We're only tariffing Australian imports about 10%. Said, we're going to expedite you sales of nuclear submarines. That way you can put them right in China's doorstep on the South China Sea. And we are doing now a rare earth mineral deal with the Australians to offset the fact that the Chinese are trying to put export controls and export licenses to make sure the U.S. doesn't have access to those. And as you know, as we all know, rare earth minerals, they become very important when it comes to data processing, cars, semiconductors, all that. So I think in the long run, the Chinese cannot be worked with. The fundamental strategy and the fundamental worldview is anti-American, it is anti-liberty, it is anti-capitalism. If we can get all our allies, even our stupid allies that we need to teach them lessons to, we can get them into line, work with us, we can ice the Chinese out. That's the better strategy here.
Where does Canada come into play with all this, Tiana? Because I know that they've gone, I mean, they're just a communist country now, it's awful to watch, but our neighbors to the north are far to the left of really most of the United States of America, even. Where do they come into play here? I know they need us, so they hate us, but they need, where are they?
I feel bad because the Canadian people really still are so nice. Uh-huh. And there are some tensions about the character that really are very conservative, right? They love guns, they're good in a lot of things. But the thing with the Canadians is they have done more importation, mass importations of migrants, like order something like 20% of Canada's population has arrived within the last 10 years. That is something we couldn't even imagine, right? So I feel bad for them because you have vast swaths of native born Canadians that did not sign up for that. Now, it's not only that the Canadians need us. We really do benefit from Canada, specifically from oil refining. So having USMCA, which again, Trump negotiated, Trump did a good job with USMCA. And one of the ways it improved upon NAFTA was making sure that everyone's adhering to the same fair labor rules to make sure that Canadians can't just import migrants and pay them pennies on the dollar to artificially undercut American service prices. So there was a good amount of evening out the playing field. Really? I mean, if I were Canadian, I would welcome becoming the 51st state, having Donald Trump liberate them from Mark Carney. The hope would be that Mark Carney's election was a fluke in response to Trump, you know, trying to strong arm the 51st state thing, because Pierre Poilievre was going to win that election until Trump started that, and you know.
Where are you at on bananas? I like them. I like them. The convenience of it is wonderful. That the built-in handle is wonderful, but they're not top-tier flavor in the fruit world, if we're being honest. They're not a strawberry.
No.
They're not a blueberry. But the convenience cannot be matched.
It's the convenience, and bananas are good bases and things. Try making a smoothie without a banana, and it just has the wrong consistency. And this is why we need international trade.
You know, that's a very good point. Ob won't even make our smoothies unless we have bananas that are good. That's actually a very good point. They're a requirement. Tiana, thank you so much. Tiana Lodescher with the DC Examiner. Appreciate you very much. Chris, you people eat bananas? You do? Where are you at on them? Top tier? Mid? They're good in banana bread. Chris, that's such a... banana bread's good. That doesn't mean bananas. We're talking about bananas in and of themselves. No? Well, I disagree. The convenience means something to me, Chris. Convenience means something to me. An apple? I'm sorry, I'm not a child. I don't want an apple. Apple, besides, red ones are disgusting. Everyone knows that green apples are the only acceptable apples. But sometimes those can be too hard. Sometimes they can be too messy if they're too juicy. No, don't say that. That's mean. Don't say that. You know what? And then your teeth hurt sometimes. And that's why you need Relief Factor. Relief Factor is there for the daily pain that holds you back from eating apples or going hiking or bending over or working construction or going for a walk. Or what hurts on you all the time? Are you just ignoring it, trying to gut it out? Or even worse, are you taking something to try to mask it? Why don't you try Relief Factor? All I'm asking is that you try it. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. Just try it. If it doesn't work, you take it every day for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, just don't call. Don't call them again. They'll leave you alone. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. You are 3 weeks away from feeling better. Try it. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Tuesday. And we shall return tomorrow for a rip-roaring Wednesday. We'll see if the government's still shut down. That would be awesome. I am worried, though. I can almost... Can't you feel it, Chris? It feels like it's about to end. The government shutdown feels like it's about to end, and it bums me out. Trump was saying this today, and it just doesn't seem like Republicans are going to cave like they always do, and that's good.
From the beginning, our message has been very simple. We will not be extorted on this crazy plot of theirs. They've never done this before. Nobody has. You always vote for an extension. Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats need to vote for the clean, bipartisan CR and reopen our government. It's got to be reopened right now. We're not doing that. They are the obstructionists. And the reason they're doing it is because we're doing so well.
Feels like it's going to come to an end. And I don't want that. I have been so enjoying the government shutdown, but it's coming. Let's do some emails. Jesse. I want to hear your thoughts on my dilemma. My entire family lives in England, about 2 hours outside of London. I'm trying to get my wife to go over there and visit my dad's side of the family. Obviously, we'd be doing the typical touristy things, go into London, visit all the attractions. However, I'm hesitant being the state London has turned into. My question, although I'm a dual citizen from the US and UK and I act accordingly, God forbid something happens to my wife or three kids from a rabid animal while in the city, what should I do? I can't stand back and watch them being attacked, but apparently I also can't defend them in fear of getting arrested in a different country. All right, so I'm going to tell you something that is actually currently happening with me and my wife. So just bear my soul with you here. We've been married 19 years. Next year will be 20. And when we were kids, first married, you know, you don't have any money. You dream, right? And we would dream about going to Greece. Greece was something, now I've never been to Greece or anything like that. Greece is something that it's my wife's fascination. I want to see the history of it. I want to see the Acropolis. You know what I would do in Greece. I would nerd out on all the history of it. But this is, we're talking 19 years of saying for our 20th anniversary, come hell or high water, and we never knew what we were going to be doing by now, we are going to take a trip and we are going to see Greece. 20 years we have been discussing this. We discussed it when we were dating before we were married. That it's just one of those life goal things. Anniversary trip, going to Greece. We started a couple months ago looking into it. Hey, we're going to go to Greece. That's what we said we're going to do it. We're going to go to Greece. Talking to people who've been there. Friends, looking up things online. We're not going. And look, it sucks, but I mean, look, talk about high-class problems. We're not going to Greece, but just going to take that 20-year dream, and we're going to flush it down the toilet because I will not spend a fortune and fly across the ocean and go to a place where I am surrounded by foreigners, by criminals. I won't do it. I'm not going to do it for a lot of the reasons you just mentioned. I know if I fly into Athens with my wife and we hike up to the Acropolis, which is what something we like to do. We'd like to hike. It's something we were going to do. We were going to hike up to the Acropolis. And some scumbag from the Congo touches my wife. I'm going to beat him to death right there. And then I'm never going to leave Greece. I'm going to be in prison. And he'll probably get a $10 million settlement from the government. And I'll be in prison for the rest of my life. And I'm not putting myself in that situation. We're letting it go. You are 100% correct in your assessment. I want to see London. By the way, I've never been to London either. And all I hear about is all the cool London stuff. Churchill's bunker and all this other stuff. A dream of mine. I want to go. I know exactly what will happen if I go through London and some savage tries to hurt my family. I'm never going to leave. I'll spend years and years and years in a prison. And so I'm just setting aside some dreams for it. That's my advice. That's what I'm doing. What, Chris? Chris said it can always change. That's what we're all holding out for, right? People wake up, cast off this government, deport all the animals, and we all go. Maybe we'll all meet there in 10 years. I don't know about now. Right? But they're going to need a whole lot of chalk shipments into these countries, that's for sure. Because people are going to have to rise up, and they are going to have to get these corrupt officials, corrupt judges, corrupt politicians out, and you need testosterone for endeavors like that. Chalk. Natural herbal supplements from chalk. They will raise your testosterone levels 20%, clinically proven, 20% in 90 days. I'm not asking you to take chalk and then hope that you feel better 2 years from now. You're 90 days away from having energy again, being in a good mood again, being better at work, better at home, but it's just better. 4 years I've taken a male vitality stack from chalk. I will never stop. I love them so much. They are our people. Go get a subscription. They have female vitality stacks for the ladies, male vitality stacks for the men. Chalk.com/Jesse. CHOQ.com/Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Texas fines thousands of illegal immigrants registered to vote on the state voter rolls. Oh, that thing that never happens happened again. Federal judge blocks the push to remove gender ideology from sex ed curricula. Again, I want to remind you, this is a federal judge. We cannot ever completely win this culture war without the removal of judges. They were installed to do what they're doing. We must remove them. 21st century digital Watergate. Another GOP senator's phone records were targeted by Biden's DOJ. Truly an evil communist administration. Caroline Leavitt drops your mom on Huffington Post reporter's question. We need to bring back these your mom jokes. I'll see you again tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.